Hi, this is Robert Antonio. I'm interviewing Vicky Joseph for my oral history assignment. Today's date is November 11th, 2007. All right, let's start. Your name?
Well, my real name is Valkyria Texera Joseph, but I go by Vicky because it is much easier to say than Valkyria.
Where were you born?
I was born in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I was born right in the city.
Okay.
October 19th, 1965.
When did you first come to the United States?
I arrived in the States on Valentine's Day, 1970.
And what was your experience like?
It was cold. We had come from Brazil, and it was the dead of summer. I remember leaving the airport in Sao Paulo, and it was a hot, balmy day. And we arrived in at JFK, and there had just been a blizzard, and the pilots actually had to carry my twin sister and I off the plane because there was so much snow on the ground. And we didn't bring winter coats because we didn't really have winter coats in Brazil. But my dad had already come, and he had these big blue and pink polka-dotted parkas that he put on us. And we kind of looked at each other, and we were thinking, we can't move in this. We were like walking in these giant Michelin Man costumes because they were so bulky. We had never worn anything like that. So that was my first experience in the States.
Okay. How did you learn English?
I learned English in school. We were here in February, and we started school immediately in kindergarten. And that's how we learned, in watching television, you know, watching Sesame Street and Zoom and all those other great shows. But that was it. And it came very quickly for my sister and I. My mom and dad took a lot longer to learn the language because they were older, of course. But that's how we learned in school and watching Sesame Street. So thank you, Grover.
What was your experiences like in school?
The first day of school, it's funny how certain things stay in your mind and they're always fresh. I remember my mom walking us to our school. It was just a few blocks away from our house. And the first impression was, oh my God, you're sending us to jail. There was probably an 8-foot cement wall that encompassed the playground. Then there was barbed wire fencing on top of that with a staircase that led up. And we walked in and we both looked at my mom and said, what did we do wrong? Why are you sending us to jail? Because everything was so cold and cement and blacktop. And, you know, there were no palm trees and no grass. And it was just very cold. But we were just scared to death. Nobody spoke the language. We didn't know anybody. And this little girl came over, and she said, oh, are you the two new girls? And we just looked at her, and then she said it in Portuguese. We grew up in a little town called Stonington, which is on the other side of Connecticut, and it's a very big Portuguese community. Most of the people there are from the Portuguese mainland or from the Azores, which are the islands off the coast of Portugal, and they speak Portuguese. So this little girl came over to say hello and welcome us, and we just thought she was wonderful because we could communicate with her. But that was my first day of school. I'll never forget that.
What was it like for your parents, being from a different country, trying to find jobs?
My dad had come about a year before we came. He was sponsored by his uncle, or I'm sorry, my uncle, his brother. So he came first, and he didn't speak English. And it's not like it is today. It was, you know, very rigid, and there were many rules. But he got a job as a janitor, working for a company in Stonington, and he did that for a few years. And then as he picked up the language and he got a little bit better at that, he started working for a company called Pfizer's, which is in Groton, Connecticut, and he worked there for many, many years. And then he would also work as a bus driver or as an electrician, because that's what he did back in Brazil. You know, odds and whatever he had to do to make things go. And my dad's passion is buying and selling houses. We must have lived in at least 11 or 12 houses growing up, because he would buy a house, and he would gut the house, and he would fix up the house to the point where my mother was just thrilled about this house being exactly what she wanted. And then he would sell it, and he'd start all over again. But he was very smart, because, you know, he made money. He'd buy these, you know, houses and fix them up and double his money. And that's what he did growing up. Meanwhile, he continued to work at Pfizer's and work as a bus driver. He was very, very hardworking. Now, my mom took a lot longer to learn English than my dad did. And she got a job working for a factory again in Stonington. But as now that we're older and we think back, it was like little Portugal because everybody in that factory spoke Portuguese. And I'm talking from, you know, the top supervisors down to the janitors. They all spoke Portuguese. And that's where my mom works. And as a matter of fact, she still works. There's another part of this company is here in Newtown, and she's still working for the same company. She's going to retire this year, hopefully. But she's still there. Yep, so that's what she did.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I go on? Yeah. Rags to riches story, I have to say. Like I said, my dad did all of this. He worked. And then when we moved to Danbury, and he moved here in 82. We followed in 83. He owned a donut shop. He bought a donut shop, and he did very well at that. And he did that for many, many years. And then he sold that, and then he opened a package store. He did that for a few years. He sold that, and now he works at Boehringer, waiting to retire. He's got 2 years left. But, you know, it's amazing. They came from the from Brazil. They learned the language, and they worked really, really hard. And it's the American dream. They've got, you know, a beautiful house here in Danbury. They've owned houses in Florida. They're looking at buying a retirement place somewhere. You know, every time I talk to them, it's somewhere different. It was Florida. It was Arizona. It was, you know, Europe. It was, I don't know, wherever. But they're going to do that next. So it's the American dream. It's wonderful.
Have you been back to Brazil?
I haven't been back since I got married, but I've been back a few times, and it's a beautiful place to visit, but I would never want to live there. It's just not for me.
Well, what are the major differences between Brazil and the United States?
The big difference that I've noticed is it's the whole culture. There are the very, very rich, and then there are the very, very poor. I guess we've been a little isolated living here in Danbury and living in Connecticut, I should say, because we don't see the very, very poor. But even, you know, watching TV and seeing the major cities in this country, you don't see what you see there. I'll give you an example. We went to Rio years ago. Probably about 20 years ago. My sister and I went as a gift. My parents paid for us to go to Rio. And we stayed at this very nice resort hotel right on Copacabana Beach, and it was gorgeous. And we were up on the 20th floor. It was very close to the top. And, you know, we'd walk to our balcony. We'd look at one side, and there it was, this pristine beach with the beautiful umbrellas and the waiters serving you your drinks. And it was just gorgeous. It was beautiful. And all the little exclusive shops where you could buy your bathing suits and, yes, your bikinis. Copacabana Beach, you know, and it was just beautiful. And then you would just turn a little bit, and a couple of miles down the road, you would see the favelas. And what that is just picture a whole community made out of cardboard boxes. That's it, just huge cardboard boxes, and it's disgusting, with clotheslines and, you know, people hanging their clothes out to dry. There was no plumbing, no running water, no electricity. And people live like this. They have children, and they bring them to this. This is their home. And it was horrible. The stench, and this is how they live. You would never see that in this country. Never. And these people turn to stealing and begging to make a living so they can eat. And years ago, I remember there was a story on the news about these, I believe they called them children of the night, or street children. And the police would just kill them. Because the shop owners did not want these kids outside their shops begging, because it would turn the tourists off. They didn't want these dirty kids begging for money. So the police would actually kill them, and these, you know, people would think it's just fine. The shop owners and government officials thought it's a way of living. You have to get rid of them because it doesn't look good for tourism. My own grandmother, God bless her, I love her. I had told her about this when she came to visit. I said, I can't believe people do that. And she even agreed, yeah, you have to do that. You don't know what these kids are like. They steal, they beg, she told me they'll cut off your ears to get your earrings. And she thought it was perfectly fine to do this. And I just think that's, you know, that's just repulsive. You can't do that to children. But that's the mentality there, because the social classes are just so different. You know, these people are poor and they live on in these favelas, and who cares? They don't deserve anything. And I just think that's horrible. That was a big social difference for me. And I will never move back there. That's one reason.
What about the healthcare system there?
They have socialized medicine, so everybody is guaranteed healthcare. It's, you know, everybody will get it. But there are different levels of healthcare. If all you have is your socialized medicine, there are certain doctors you can see, certain hospitals and clinics that you can go to, certain pharmacies that you can go to, which, by the way, at the pharmacies, you don't need prescriptions. I thought that was pretty cool. You can just walk into a pharmacy. And a lot of people go to the pharmacy for their health care. You know, they go in and, oh, my back hurts, and the pharmacist will just give them a pill. They don't go to doctors. They really rely on their local pharmacists for their health care. I'm sorry, I'm deviating. So anyway, for their health care, if all you have is socialized medicine, then you go to these certain places, which can be very substandard. They're not the elite. If you have money, a little bit of money, you can afford private insurance. And through private insurance, you get to see the better doctors, and you get to go to better hospitals, and your health care is just fabulous. My grandmother had breast cancer a couple of years ago, and the only reason she was able to go to a private doctor and get the care that she needed was because her children had paid for her to have private health care. Now, her, I believe it's her brother, or anyway, one of my great uncles did not have this, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he had to wait 4 months for surgery because you get put on a waiting list. It's socialized medicine. That's the way it is. And so their health care is a lot different than ours, a lot different. Here, for the most part, everybody gets the care that they need. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't pay for it, you know, we have community hospitals that give you what you need.
Are you still a citizen of Brazil?
I am. Like I said, I moved here in 1970. My dad had come in, I believe he came in 1969. His brother had sponsored him to come. So he came a year before us, and he got a job and settled in and got a place for us to live, and then we came. And they went to night school 4 days a week to learn the language and to learn all of that stuff we learned in history class that we just thought was useless, you know, in government class. And, well, they have to learn all that too, and that it took a long time. But I remember going to night classes with them, and my sister and I would sit in the back of the room with our coloring books, and they would go and they'd learn everything they had to learn. And they were naturalized. My dad was actually naturalized in, I want to say 1976. That's right. He was naturalized for the bicentennial. And my mom was naturalized in 1980. Yeah. And when she became a naturalized citizen, by law, my sister and I automatically become citizens because both our parents are citizens. So by default, we became an American citizen, which I would be anyway, no matter what. But the Brazilian government doesn't recognize it. Because in their eyes, I did not choose to become a citizen. I became one because my parents did. So I actually carry a dual citizenship now. So I have to travel with two different passports.
So then you can vote in Brazil?
Technically, I can. I haven't had a Brazilian passport since I was 18. But if I wanted to go renew my passport, which I should, I guess. I have to vote. If you do not vote in the presidential elections, your passport is taken away from you until you do vote. So they don't look at it as a choice. It's mandated. You either vote or you don't get your passport. And it's a little ridiculous. I live in this country. I'm not going to fly to Brazil to vote. So what they allow you to do is to go into New York City and vote at the consulate. And it's on a Sunday. Their election days are on Sundays. Don't ask me when, because I truly don't know. And you have to go vote. If you don't, they revoke your passport, and you have to start the whole process all over again, which is miserable. Truly, truly miserable.
Brazil seems a lot different from the United States. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's not all bad. I mean, it's a party place. People are very happy and go lucky and. I mean, you see, remember when they won the soccer world? Well, picture that, but a whole country like that. They like to party. They like to have fun. They're very, very family-oriented. It's a nice place. I would never want to move back there. A lot of things that we take for granted here, they don't have there. Freedom of speech is something basic to us, you know. We don't think twice about speaking our minds. And we were there years ago, I don't remember when, we were at the American Embassy first because, like I said, I travel with a Brazilian passport because they don't consider me American. But the first thing we do when we get there is we go to the embassy and we let them know we're here or there. And just in case something happens, you never know. You know, get me out. Get me on the first plane out of there. I'm here. Don't forget me. But then we had to go to some Brazilian, I don't know what it was. My mom actually had to pay money for some reason. I don't remember what it was to the government. And we were leaving, and my uncle's car, I don't know, it was something to do with the parking. And he was giving my uncle and my mom a hard time, and I remember talking to my sister and saying, you know, who does this jerk think he is? And, you know, just tell him to shut up or whatever. I was a kid. And my uncle looked at me. He said, don't you talk like that. And I said, why? And he said, because you don't have the right to talk to a police officer like that. He will throw you in jail. And I was just like, what do you mean you don't have a right? Like, everybody has a right to speak their mind as long as you're, you know, not slandering somebody or... But no, they don't have these simple rights that we have here. It's very odd. Very, very odd.
Can you think of any experiences that your parents may have had? Because you were young. So just, you know, 1970s, you know, there's a lot going on then. Just anything that was just a culture shock to them or even you, if you can remember that far back.
Oh, God. Culture shock. No. It's a little hard because, like I said, we grew up in a Portuguese community. It's not the same, but my dad is actually Portuguese, so we still had that traditional, you know, coming. Can you be more specific?
Let's see. Vietnam was still going on.
Vietnam was horrible. I remember Vietnam. I remember watching it on TV. I didn't understand it. I was just a kid, but I remember watching it on TV and crying, you know. I didn't understand a lot of it. Even the language back then, way back then, you know, some of the language was a little, but I thought that was just horrible. But, you know, my mom explained it. It's war. But I think as we grew a little older, where a lot of my friends' parents were really taken back by it, or they had an opinion, either, you know, it was completely wrong or it was right. My parents didn't really have an opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Because it's now they would, because they do have an opinion on the war in Iraq. But they didn't have an opinion because it really wasn't their country yet. We had just come over. So they really, it didn't hit them as much. I mean, the sorrow was there, you know, because they were reporting and showing these soldiers being, you know, killed. But they didn't have that strong conviction like other kids' parents would have had because it just wasn't part of them yet. Now, with Iraq, they do have it, you know. My mom had gone back. I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago, she went back to Brazil for a wedding, and they were sitting around, and this is when, let me think, George Bush was in office. It was right after 9/11, and somebody was talking bad about George Bush. Yes, that's what it was. It was right after 9/11, and my mother looked at him and said, "Shut up, you have no idea what the country went through." And this person looked at her like, "What do you mean?" And she said, "You weren't there when those towers fell." And this woman said to her, "Well, what do you care? Did you know anybody there?" And my mom said, "Yeah, I did." And she said, "But it doesn't matter. You don't know what that did to my country." And that was just really, oh, I'm getting teary-eyed. 9/11 does make me teary-eyed. Because this is her country now. You hear it all the time, you know, "Oh, my country, oh, my country, oh, my country," from other people. But, you know, for the first time that I can remember, she actually referred to this as her country, which was, like, really cool.
And you would consider this your country, too?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. It's funny because, my girls will say, "No, Mommy, what are we?" And I'll look at them and say, "You're American." "Well, what are you?" "I'm American." "You know, what do you want me to tell you?" "I'm American. This is my country. I've been here all of my life, really. I lived there for 4 years." Mm-hmm. And, you know, this, I am American. My grandmother even refers to me, or my relatives, they'll say, oh, my American grandchildren, my granddaughter from America, my American granddaughter, because she knows, you know, I'll never go back there to live. Right. This is where I belong.
Now, are your children in touch with their roots? Like, do you try to instill your culture?
Yeah, they do, especially when, you know, one of the relatives from Brazil will come over, they get very excited, and they do want to go back. They want to go back there to visit. It's just that the red tape that you have to go through, because they are also Brazilian citizens, which is kind of so out there, but because I'm a Brazilian citizen, the government doesn't recognize them as American either.
It's interesting.
Please, it's wrong. But they also need to go there on a Brazilian passport, and they have to go through the same thing I have to go through, which is a lot of paperwork. It was just, I had to declare them as, they have birth certificates, Brazilian birth certificates, even though they were born here.
Wow. Why?
It's, you know, I guess it's along the same lines. If you were in the military service, let's say you were stationed in Germany, you know, you were in the army, and your wife had a baby in Germany. Well, the birth certificate would be an American born abroad, right? Yeah. They're American citizens. You just happen to be living there at the time. Well, the Brazilian government recognizes it as the same way. It's because I'm a Brazilian citizen, they're actually Brazilian citizens born abroad. So, you know, they have to go through the same red tape and paperwork and that I would have to go through to go there.
Do you know why they just don't, you know, let you be an American citizen and your kids be American citizens and forget about Brazil? Or
we've talked to many people. Now, as you know, there are a lot of Brazilians in Danbury. Mm. And we've talked to people about it, and nobody, that's just the way it is. You know, you can't fight City Hall. That's the way it is, and it will always remain that way, and there's nothing I can do. Now, my mom was able to revoke her Brazilian citizenship. Because she chose to become American, she actually had paperwork filled out, and she said, no, I don't want to be Brazilian anymore, I'm American. Mm-hmm. So she was able to, but my sister and I can't, because we became citizens before the age of 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, on the topic of immigration in Danbury, what do you think as far as immigration and, you know, what's been going on?
You know, I don't... Immigration is a wonderful thing. This is a melting pot. This country is built on people from different worlds, and it's a wonderful place because of that. You know, all these different cultures have intermingled, and it's fabulous. That's what makes America so great. But there's a legal way of doing it, and I'm a strong believer that if my mom and dad could have, you know, come off the boat or the plane, as the case might be, and, you know, they did it the legal way. They were sponsored, and they learned the language. They learned who the first president was and what the Third Amendment was and all that other stuff for their naturalization test. And they did everything the right way, and they became citizens, and they're living the American dream. And I think that is fabulous. But to come across the border through Mexico and not pay taxes, and that's wrong. There's a legal way of doing things, and the laws are there for a reason. And anyone who breaks the law, I just do not agree with. It's wrong. That's my opinion.
It's fair enough.
Fair enough?
Yes.
I think everybody is welcome as long as they do it the right way.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion about the, I believe it was the illegal immigrants that got sent back? They were in Danbury, and they...
Oh, you mean the eight?
It was at eight.
Was it 8 or 11? Whatever.
I'm not sure.
You know, I really don't know the details about that. The Danbury police got involved in that. Is that one?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know what the details were. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know why they were picked among everyone else. But if they're illegal, then they should be sent back. That's my opinion.
All right. Well, I think we're done.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right.